Good morning. Please have a seat. And take this opportunity to welcome us all to this time and place of worship. As we meet here in each other's company, we know that we are not only with one another, but God's presence is felt to move among us and between us. Looking a little sparse out there this morning. Cottages are being closed up this weekend, and you know, or that it was a beautiful weekend. People are moving. I hope they're enjoying the weather this morning. So, if you're visiting with us, a warm welcome to you this morning. I'm Reverend Michael Mugford, and I'm in ministry here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church. And I think I know just about every face that's here. That's pretty darn good. Hey. So as we gather this morning, I'll invite us to share together in the words of the acknowledgement of place. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Wabanaki peoples, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, the Maliseet, and the Passamaquoddy. And we acknowledge the Mi'kmaq people and their stewardship of this land throughout the ages. Cole Harbor Woodside United Church is a safe place for all people to worship, regardless of gender identity, race, creed, age, ability, cultural background, or sexual orientation. We light our candles this morning. We light first the Christ candle to remind us of Christ's light in our lives and in our midst. There we go. It is Christ's light that we follow in our lives and in the world. We light a candle of peace. We pray for peace and we call for peace and we work for peace, not only in our individual lives, but in the world around us. It is our call to follow the Prince of Peace that brings us to these places. We light a candle in honor of those who serve, particularly those who serve in our armed forces, who go to places for the cause of peace, places that we cannot or would not be able to go, and offer hope to those whom they encounter. We think of those and we honor those who offer a peace of spirit in our communities. We think of first responders, firefighters and EMT, peace officers, those who staff our hospitals and our nursing homes, who care for us when we are in our moments of deepest need, and the ministry that they offer to us in ways of care and support. And we honor them and we pray for them, strength that they might do the ministry to which they are called. We open our service this morning with our opening song, "We Praise You, O God."
For the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise to God.
Good job.
Invite us to pray together. God with us in times of struggle. You have called us into a wholehearted relationship with you. We are called upon to live out our faith with passion and integrity. We are thankful for the deep love you have shown, and we commit again to the fire of your hope and justice in the world. In you we find the strength to hold on when we wrestle with life's circumstances, and when we stay with you through those times, we come away blessed. We will find courage to wrestle honestly with the things we don't understand, to continually work out our faith with authenticity, and to grapple daily with what it means to faithfully follow you. We are your people, chosen and named by you. In your continued presence, we find blessing and a mark of your love as we seek to live as Jesus' disciples in the world. This is our prayer this day. May it be so. Amen. And our opening hymn, Creator God, you gave us life.
Reading from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all of his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip. because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon.
Thank you, Natalie. The children who are here this morning would like to come forward, would spend a few minutes together. How are we all this morning? Ooh, we're all quiet this morning. A little subdued. Maybe the rain overnight kind of settled things down a little bit. Hey, can you guys come over this way? Because I can't hardly see you way over there. Come on over this way. There we go. I want to be able to talk to everybody. There we go. There's a spot right there for you. You can sit right there. Yeah, good. So this morning, I wanted to ask you, what's your name? Do you know your name? You do? You know your name? Yeah? Do you know your name? Yeah? Yeah? Does everybody know their names? Good. Okay. So what's your name? Can you say your name?
Jacob.
Sophie. Heath. Mm-hmm. Hi. And what's your name?
Vera.
What's your name? Kyrie. What's your name?
Maria.
What's Madison? Livia? Liv? Michael. Logan. Good. So you all know your name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's a good thing to know. It's a good thing to know your name. What does your name mean? Does your name have a meaning? Not that you know of, no? Do you know what your name means? No? Anybody know what their name means? Has anyone ever looked up their name? See what it means? A boggy place. Anyone else know the meaning of their name? Like a lily. Ah. Mine means like God. That didn't go to my head at all. Like God. My son Joshua, his name is the same as Jesus' name. Jesus is Joshua in Latin. So Mary would have said, Joshua, come in for supper. And Jonathan is a friend. Anna means precious. So one of the things I'll invite you to do is to go home and maybe get on the computer or talk to moms and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles and find out what your name means. Now, Natalie just read a story about Jacob. And in the story, Jacob wrestles with a stranger throughout the night. Now, Jacob means someone who grabs. Someone who grabs. When Jacob was being born, he was a twin. And his twin Esau was born first. And when Jacob was born, he was grabbing at his brother's ankle, the story says. But after he's done wrestling with this stranger in the night, the stranger gives him a new name. Have you ever changed your name? Has your name always been the same? It's always been the same? You didn't change your name? Your name didn't used to be Frank at one point in time? No? Okay. Yeah. So, I've never changed my name either, but Jacob got a new name. His name was changed to Israel. So, he used to be Jacob. And then he becomes Israel. And Israel means one who strives or struggles with God. So the ancient peoples thought Jacob must have been wrestling with God that night. And because of it, he was different. And he thought, you know what? Maybe because I'm different, maybe this new name would be really good for me to have. Because I'm going to struggle with God. I'm going to try and figure out God my whole entire life. So that's a really important thing for us to think about, is what does our name mean? And to know that God knows our names. And God cares for us and loves us and supports us. Whether our name is Bill or Ted or Frank or Jean or Olivia or Liv or Heath or any name, that God knows us and loves us just the same, regardless, right? So that's an important thing for us to remember. So every time you think about your name, when you're writing your name at school or if you're practicing your letters, think about how much God loves you and your name. So let's have a little prayer, and we'll have a little, it's a repeat after me prayer. Say, thank you, God, for my name. And say your name, Michael. That I'm glad that you know me,
and that I know you.
Help me to be your follower, all my life. Amen. All right. So let's sing. We're going to sing Like a Rock, because God is under our feet like a rock. And that's one of our action songs. It's one we've done. Are we getting used to the actions? Do we need to practice the actions? Here we go. Ready? Like this. Like a rock, God is under our feet. Like the starry night sky, God is over our head. Like the sun on the horizon, God is ever before. Like the river runs to ocean, our home is in God evermore. And we give ourselves a big hug at the end because we love ourselves just the way God loves us, right? All right, here we go. And the congregation can stand and do the actions too. Programming upstairs for you. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. As we enter into this time of meditation, O God, may the words that I am about to share find their source in you, our rock and our strength. In Christ we pray. Amen. So as I shared with the children this morning, as we heard in the scripture readings, the story of Jacob, or part of the story of Jacob, is our scripture reading this morning. It's part of the primordial history of the Hebrew scriptures and the Jewish people and the scriptures to which we are heirs lately. So a little lineage, a little reminder, because sometimes it's hard to think all the way back to Sunday school days when we learned the story of Jacob. So Abraham and Sarah are made a promise that they will become a great nation. And we saw a couple of weeks ago, they were without children for many years, and Abraham has a son, Ishmael, by Sarah's servant Hagar. And it is through Ishmael our Muslim brothers and sisters trace their lineage back to Abraham. A little while later, Abraham and Sarah do have a son together, Isaac. Isaac will go on and he will marry Rebekah. And Rebekah will give birth to twins, Esau and Jacob. Now, Esau is the firstborn. He is the rightful heir of Jacob's life and livelihood. Firstborn of Rebekah and Isaac. However, throughout the course of their lives, Esau and Jacob will wrestle back and forth. In fact, when they are still in the womb, the nursemaid says to Rebekah, "You have two nations grappling in your womb." That's how unsettled the two twin brothers were. And at some point in time, they will part company and not on good terms. When Rebekah is giving birth, Esau is born first, and Jacob is grasping at Esau's heel, as I said, with the children. When they're grown up, Esau is a hunter. He's a ruddy, hairy kind of guy, big and powerful. And one day he's out hunting, and he comes home from the hunt starving. And there's Jacob, who is kind of a homebody, not really one to be out in the field doing things in that way. He's kind of Rebekah's favorite. Esau is Jacob's favorite. Esau is hungry to the point where he begs Jacob for some food. And Jacob says, "Sure, I'll share my lunch with you. But it's going to cost you. I would like your birthright for this delicious bowl of stew." And Esau is so hungry and is so focused on just satisfying his hunger that he says, "Yeah, sure, anything you want. Just give me the soup." Now, Rebekah, who favors Jacob, tells Jacob later on that they need to hatch a plan in order to solidify Jacob's action. Because although Esau has given away his birthright to his brother Jacob, really Isaac is the one who gets to decide who gets what. And so when Isaac is old and feeble and is coming to the end of his life, Rebekah and Jacob hatch this little plan. They know that Jacob has the birthright from that bowl of stew many years ago. Isaac sends Esau out into the field, says, "Esau, you are my favorite son, and you always bring me the most delicious game. I would love it if you would go out into the field and you would find something wonderful for me to eat." And at that moment, Jacob and Rebekah spring into action. How many of you remember the story? They dress Jacob up with wool over him, and they spread mud all over him. They put one of Esau's cloaks on him, and he goes in with this bowl of stew that Jacob has prepared, and he gives it to Isaac, who can't see. And Isaac eats that bowl of stew and says how delicious it is, and then says, "Come closer, and I will give you your birthright, your inheritance, my blessing." And Jacob gets the blessing. And within moments, Esau arrives and sees what's happened, and he is distraught. And you can picture him rushing to his father and saying, "Father, what about my birthright? What about my blessing?" And Isaac says, "I'm sorry, I've given my blessing to Jacob. I have nothing left for you." And Esau is distraught, and he begs. There's this heart-wrenching scene as he begs and pleads with his father, and his father says, "I'm sorry. You will now serve your younger brother, Jacob." And Esau gets royally ticked off. And the Bible says Esau's anger burned against his brother for years. And they part company after a time, not to see each other for a long, long time. And that's where we pick up the story today that Natalie shared with us. So Jacob is on his way to go and meet Esau to try and make amends. And Jacob has taken a pile of stuff to give to Esau as a gift, as a bribe. "Here, have my stuff. Please don't beat me up." And Jacob has sent all of his family across the river, his wives, his daughters, his children, whatever he's got, his cattle, his goats, his sheep, everything has gone across the river. He has basically gone all in, hoping that if Esau is coming with an army, they'll take pity on the women and children and the goats and the cattle that are all there as Jacob stays behind. And Jacob goes to sleep. The text says Jacob falls asleep and wrestles with an unknown man all night long. It's a long wrestling match. Is the man an angel? Is it a spirit? Is it God? We assume it's God that Jacob is wrestling with, but we don't really know. The scripture doesn't really say. The interesting thing is that neither Jacob nor the man come out on top. They wrestle all night long with no clear winner. And as the sun begins to come up there at the ford of the river Jabbok, the man says, "I have to go." And Jacob demands, as he's already done before, a blessing. "I won't let you go till I get a blessing from you." Again, Jacob all of his life scheming and tricking to get what he wants. He'll get a blessing. He'll get a birthright. He'll get a wife. He'll get anything he can by whatever means he can. And each time he acts the trickster, he thinks he's gaining something. But each time, he never thinks about the cost of what it will cost him. So at this time, as he refuses to let the stranger go and demands a blessing, it comes at a cost. The stranger pushes or hits or strikes or whatever the different translations read him in the hip. And he's injured. Jacob, I can't help but think, considers the possibility that he might not come out on top for the first time in his life. He might lose everything he has got. If he loses to this person, this man, that man could go ahead and take all of his stuff and leave him there in the wilderness. He might lose everything, and then Esau's men and his army might take everything from him yet again. Can imagine the fear of going back to meeting his brother with nothing in hand. And so very much diminished and probably in a lot of pain, he is now for the first time wrestling for his life. And as day breaks and the stranger pulls that dirty move and gouges him in the hip socket to get away, Jacob, whose name means one who grabs, will not relent. And so the man says, "You are no longer Jacob. You are Israel, because you have striven with God and survived." Along with a new name, a new identity comes into being for Jacob Israel. Perhaps over the course of his life, he will see that blessing and gain are not what we are to struggle for, but rather real relationship, something that Jacob hasn't had if we read his story closely. Jacob will mend his relationship with his brother in the passages that will follow. He will father, not without some controversy, but hey, who's perfect? He will father 12 tribes of Israel. And he will be, as Israel, the source of many stories and tales of our faith. Jacob followed God, but he always struggled with what that meant, I think. Struggled with God, and yet he survived. We are called to struggle with God, to follow God, to figure things out for ourselves and our faith. We're not called to follow blindly. We're called to be discerning and to be searching and even wrestle with God if God so calls us to do. And we should be doing this as individuals as well as a faith community. I think this is an exciting time in the life of Cole Harbor Woodside United Church. I think we're at the ford of the River Jabbok, as Jacob was. We're at a time and a place where we're ready to move into a new country as we're led by God's Spirit. We have been listening to God and we have been following God's call as a community in so many ways. And just think of the wonderful blessings that we have had to trick nobody for. We have an amazing parish nursing ministry that reaches out into the community. I am amazed at the number of people who call this church looking for the foot care clinic and those that service in the community. The work that we did to become an affirming congregation, the study and the conversation that happened. The faith, of the leap of faith that we took when we instituted the congregational designated minister position that Kelly held. And the ways in which things continued to grow. In the dream that is the needs assessment document that helps us to chart where we might go in the time to come. In the trust that we have continually placed in God's Spirit to lead us ever forward. Discerning God's way and wrestling with God's presence are not really that dissimilar. Each one takes time and effort for us to find that opportunity to see clearly where God is calling us, the path that God lays before us and seeks to offer us in blessing. We're called upon not only as individuals, but as a community of faith to take time to wrestle with God as we look to the other side of the Jabbok and look around us and see what the opportunities are for us, the gifts that lay within the membership and the facilities that we have here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church that will bring new life to us and to the community around us. we, like Jacob, are called to follow. We don't know where we're going yet. We're not sure what the next thing will be. But I know and I trust that if we hold on to that stranger, the unknown, as we wrestle, if we will hold on until the morning, God will lead us into a new way. We will be changed. We will be made different. We will be made new. We might even have a little bit of a limp. But we will also be filled with identity, with purpose, and with spirit. Why? Because we will be following God and God's call into a new way, a new place, and new ministries. We will bear Christ's light here and in the world. For that's what God calls us to do and to be. In faith, let us follow. Amen. Are there announcements that need to be shared? Joe and Kelly.
Hopefully those can be used. So continue to bring those in. I saw there's a whole lot collected in the narthex. You can also give them to the kids. We have a collection bin upstairs. So please continue to bring those in. I think that's it for Sunday school. So also the kids group is starting October 11th. Thanks.
Hello. Michael has done a wonderful lead into my talk because, of course, my name is Catherine, Kate. Kate means food because, you know, catering, so food. And I'm here to talk about a food event that's coming up, World Food Day. And I'm going to offer bowls of food to my friends, I and other people that are going to help me. We're going to have a three-sister supper on World Food Day, and that's a sharing supper. It's a cultural supper here at the church, Wednesday, October 16th, so it's right after Thanksgiving. We live in a country of tremendous abundance. Canada is first, second in feeding the world. Mind you, we only have, 35 million people here in this grand country. But like to celebrate our abundance and have a look at food, food justice, food peace. So this supper, which everyone is invited to for a free will offering to the food bank, or we're also accepting cash for the supper, and there will be lots of opportunities for you to help help with the supper. And there's lists out in the narthex. I'm looking for some donations of food for cooking and some people to help out. And we'll be talking about it over the next month. Well, next 3 weeks, I guess. So a supper, World Food Day supper on October 16th, which is a Wednesday. I probably have forgotten stuff, but anyhow, there's lots of time to think about it. Please, you can get tickets, which just gives me an idea of who's coming. So, because I need to kind of know numbers. So please come, I'll be inside and pick up a ticket and just let me know that you're thinking of coming and bringing your family. Thank you.
I just wanted to say we had the supper Thursday at Hope Cottage. It was a beautiful evening. Everyone enjoyed the meal. And because of the response, once again, we had enough for maybe 20 or 30 people to have some for lunch the next day. So thank you very much.
I mentioned that next Sunday is World Communion Sunday. So just kind of spread that word, and I did have another announcement that just flew out of my brain. If I think of it, I'll bring it up later on. Sign up sheets out there. Okay. Those are the announcements. At least ones I can remember. Cindy, our moment for mission and service.
Gifts that transform lives. We give thanks for over 8 years of giving through the Gifts with Vision catalog. Every gift is developed by one of our mission and service partners, and each one truly makes a difference. As we look forward to the new Gifts with Vision catalog, let us hear some of the amazing things that have been accomplished thanks to our giving through Gifts with Vision. You have made so many good things possible through your gifts. Clean water projects in Congo, Nicaragua, and Zambia. Summer camp experiences for more than 200 children across Canada. Education and safe spaces for children around the world. Food for people who are homeless in Canada. Grocery gift cards and warm clothing for remote Indigenous communities. Food, shelter, and education for displaced persons in Kenya, the Philippines, Colombia, and Jordan. Indigenous cultural renewal here in Canada, a culture of peace in Africa, Latin America, and the Middle East, and projects in reconciliation and Indigenous reclaiming of language and traditions, just to name a few. Your generous support for mission and service means that mission and service partners receive core funding for their programs. Your gifts through Gifts with Vision provide additional support for mission and service partners and ministries for selected projects. Without mission and service gifts with vision, projects would not be possible. Through your support of mission and service and gifts with vision, you provide so much hope, both here in Canada and across the world. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your giving, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making mission and service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you, Cindy. In that spirit, then, our gifts and our offerings are now received. Let us pray together. Divine love, in this part of our world, we are gifted with much. Having much, we are called to give for others. Give in body, in spirit, and in treasure. With these limited funds in our plates and through par, limitless things are done. May we ever strive beyond our limitations, choose beyond our immediate means, and live to each day the fullness of opportunity for others as well as ourselves. As ones born of light and walking to light, we pray. May it be so. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Let us, as God's people joined together in this place, come together in spirit, in prayer. O God, sometimes when we are walking through our lives of faith, we think that if we are struggling, it is a bad thing. And yet, we know that good things come out of struggle. We know that when we struggle and discern and think and pray and read, we find ourselves closer to you if we depend upon you and upon your Spirit. In the stories of our faith, O God, there are so many examples of times when your faithful people struggled, wrestled, and wondered where you were, who you were, and how you would lead. We are at a time, O God, in the life of our human family where we wonder, where will the future lead us? How will the changing climate affect the ways in which we will be able to be? How will we aid those whose lives will be dramatically changed because of the change we have wrought in the climate? And yet, as we struggle and wonder with that, we see amazing acts of hope and faith when around our world thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people understand and are calling for climate change work to be done, for justice to be done, for us to look at the earth not as ours to destroy, but ours to cherish and care for, not just for ourselves, but for the generations to come. We struggle in so many ways, O God, as we think too in our nation, as we wonder where will our nation go in the days that are ahead. We wonder how will we be with one another as we see the polarities become greater and greater. We see the disparity between those who have and those who need. We see the disparity between indigenous and non-indigenous communities. And yet, in the midst of that, we see your hope. We see places where people care and care for one another, who have stepped in and said, no, violence is not right, misogyny is not right, anger and hatred and violence are not right, and we will stand against those things. We think of our community of faith that gathers here at Cole Harbor Woodside United Church, the ways in which we are called to serve in the community around us, the ways in which we help the lives of one another in this place, but also in the community. We think of those who visit our food bank, those who call the church looking for an ear to hear, some time to spend, those who find comfort and refuge in our worship services, those who find friendship and companionship in difficult times. We continue to wrestle and wonder, where will you call us next, O God? May we be attentive, watch, pray, discern, and follow where you have called. We lift up one another in prayer this day. We hold one another in our hearts and in our spirits. We remember and we pray for those whose names are in our order of service this morning and those whose names are known to you. This morning we pray for Rachel and Chris and Gary and Carolyn, Hannah, Nancy, David, Faith, Dorothy, Simon, Sean, Richard, Eric, Hunter, Barbara, Gary, Joy, Heather, Wayne, Suzanne, Donna, Marie, Lloyd, Neil, Millie, Matilda. Those names we have spoken aloud, those names spoken in our hearts, those names represent a person, a life, an individual, a person of faith, a child of your heart. May our prayers and your spirit bring hope and healing to those for whom we pray. We offer prayer for ourselves, O God, in the places in which we struggle, the places in which we experience joy, the places in which we seek to discern where you call us next. Give us faith that as we move forward together, we move forward in you and in step with Jesus as his followers. As we pray the prayer he taught his first followers, that they might say together, either in words as they're printed in our bulletins or in the ways in which we have learned since children, we say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning, 174, Four Voices, Soil of God. The place in which we gather is holy. The place to which we go is holy. It is holy here because we are here and God is here. It is holy there because we are there and God is there. Let us go out into the world and be the holy ground God has called us to be in Christ. Amen. I promised last time. Next Sunday, we are in a new section. We have new, Charles can vouch, he's seen the new hymns. It's different next week. Last time. Won't come back for a couple of years.